Podcast. This is episode number 8. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Just want to apologize that there was not a show last week. I just didn't have a lot to say last week. Certainly not enough to fill up an entire podcast episode. So I just want to apologize that I did miss a week. And if for some reason you're finding out about this weeks later and you're just listening and you see episode 7 and then 8 and then 9 and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But for those of you that download each and every week, I do appreciate it. Be sure, if you like what I'm doing, I can't stress this enough, go into iTunes, leave a review. It helps so much in the ranking of, you know, people finding this podcast through similar podcasts. And if there's enough ratings, it gets higher in the rankings. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. Just a couple of more plugs and then we'll really get started. GarysPodcast.com/Amazon, or go to GarysPodcast.com and click on the Amazon link on the far right. Basically, I am a part of Amazon's affiliate program, and if you use my link, then anything you buy, I get a couple of pennies off the sale, essentially, is what happens. You don't pay anything extra whatsoever. It's just they say, you know, I sent you, so they give me a small cut of whatever you buy. So if you buy more, then I get more. If you buy less, then I get less. Either way, if you buy using my link, I appreciate you. I appreciate you just for hearing this, so don't think I don't appreciate you at all. Final plug, Lyft. Do you want to drive for Lyft? Do you like meeting new people? You like driving around? I sure do. We talk about it on this very podcast. Or if you need a ride with Lyft, you know, it's the summer concert season. A lot of people are out, you know. If you're like me, you want to go to a concert, have a few drinks. No need to worry about how you're going to get home. Just take a Lyft home. It's so easy. Listen to this. You pull out your phone. There's a Lyft app, L-Y-F-T. Download this. It's an Android. It's an iPhone. Download this app. Put in the promo code Gary's Podcast, and you're going to save at minimum $5. Some cities, it's actually more. So you want to look it up based on your home market, but you can save in some areas $10 off your first ride. So you'll have to see the site for specific details. I have a link on my website on the far right. It's where I put all my affiliate and promo stuff. And you can click on these links for the driver and rider and see what the promos are in your city. And the chances are it's going to be a really good deal either way you look at it. So whether you want to ride or drive with Lyft, the code you want to use is Gary's Podcast. So I do make a small commission on that in the interest of full transparency, but you also get something for it as well. It's not just only I'm benefiting. We're both benefiting. We're mutually benefiting from this. So that is the deal with that. So let's get the podcast started. It's been, what, 2 weeks since we've talked? So this week I hit a new milestone. I'm working like hell this week to make sure that I keep it, and I feel really determined that I will keep it. There's no doubt in my mind that I will keep it, but I dropped below 300 pounds for the first time. I'm at 298. I'm so excited about this. I was at 302 last week, and that was down from 305, which is what I think I was the last time we spoke on this podcast. Went down to 302, and then now I'm down to 298. So this is the very first time that I am not 300 pounds, and it feels amazing. I feel amazing. My wife and I are in the process of packing our stuff and getting ready to move here in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, I've been packing shirts, old t-shirts into boxes, and I'm amazed at how many double XLs are now fitting on me. Like, you know, like how good they're fitting on my body now. There was a time where all these shirts I used to try to squeeze into. It was a chore to squeeze into these shirts. Now they just slide right on. It's perfect. I mean, it feels so good to be able to get into these shirts. But I got down to 298, and this is a direct result of just working so hard. The new schedule, I really feel like it's paying off with kind of that Friday, Saturday, Sunday last-minute hustle right before the weigh-in. It's almost like training for a UFC fight. Now, I know what you're thinking. Gary, you're not a fighter. You never train for the UFC. You're right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, when you read interviews, listen to interviews with these guys, they talk about their fight camps and, you know, weigh-ins and all the different things they do to get to make weight and all that kind of stuff. And I don't do anything extreme, but I do apologize. I got a little bit of sinus stuff going on. I'm really sorry. But they got these, like, you know, weight cuts they got to make and stuff like that. And I'm not doing anything like that, but I am just working really, really hard in these final days before, you know, my weigh-ins come. So that way I hit a certain number. And I don't have a number in mind. Like, I might tell myself, you know, I'd like to lose anywhere from like 1 to 3 pounds. I think that's realistic. The only time I've ever dropped more, there's been like maybe 1 or 2 weeks where I've dropped 5 in a week, and that's pretty abnormal. It's not, you know, typical. I was looking back at some of my other weigh-ins, and I think the first week I was down like 8 pounds when I first started, and that was just crazy. That was my body just screaming to me, saying, dude, you know, got to get all this crap off of me. You're weighing me down, essentially. I think is what it was trying to say. But, you know, this week it was 4 pounds. So I'm so very thankful for it. But I know that it's, you know, it's not luck. I didn't get lucky to lose weight. I worked really hard. And that's what it's all about. You know, I was driving Lyft this weekend. Uber didn't have any good promotion, so I was driving Lyft. And I drove this woman who also does a podcast. This is crazy to think. And I was telling her about, you know, and I never tell people about my podcast or about my weight loss journey unless we start getting into a good conversation. And this is what's so fascinating about driving for rideshare, is all these new people that you meet. And while I haven't made any connections, like I haven't exchanged actual information with anybody, but I've definitely, you know, told them like what I'm doing. And this is only to people who are like, you know, super talkative, really into like a good conversation. And when that kind of goes, I kind of talk to them. Like the one, I think this lady, like she noticed how big my Yeti cup was. I got one of those 30-ounce, like, big Yeti cups that I keep water in, and I drink about 200 ounces a day of water, okay? So I was just, you know, taking a sip of the water. She's like, wow, is that a Yeti you got? I'm like, yeah, I keep it filled with water. I try to drink about 200 ounces a day. She's like, wow, that's a lot of water. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I've been on this weight loss kick for the last, you know, 7 months. And I'm down 74 pounds. I was down 70 when I was talking to her, but I'm like, I'm down like 70 pounds. She's like, wow. People are blown away when I tell them the result so far. Like I thought, I guess I was always under the assumption of the numbers I was seeing are like normal because I've been doing it for so long. Like, it's not like I walk up to somebody and I'm like, yeah, I lost 70 pounds in a month, you know. I was like, you know, 70 pounds in 7 months, that's averaging 10 pounds a month. That doesn't seem like crazy to me, but like I tell people, and people seem to be like really surprised by it. So anyway, I met this girl, this woman, she was slightly older, but she looked young. I don't want to go down that road where it's like, yeah, she was older, but make them think like they're 50 or something. She was like definitely like around my age, 30s, had to be. Did not look any older than that. Nice lady though, but she runs her own podcast. She didn't tell me the name. And to be fair, I didn't tell her my name either about my podcast. I just told her that I did one. And so we had like a long ride. She was in Dale City and we were going to National Airport. And that's like at least a half an hour in the car. And we're just sharing like podcast strategy. Like we're talking business, like Instagram and all this other stuff. And I'm just so fascinated at like the people you meet that you're taking around town in your car. And don't get me wrong, you get people that just don't want to say anything. Like, they will just sit there in the back, and they're on their phone, and as they say in radio, I kind of just, excuse me, I'm sorry I'm yawning, but, you know, they kind of just, as they say in radio, you kind of just lay out a little bit, and you just let them do their thing, and you don't interrupt them. And then you have people that are just like, oh, man, all they want to do is talk. And I love that. I love that. When you can have, like, such a good conversation. Over the weekend, I probably had three or four riders that were like that, that were really talkative. And I told them about what I was doing. I told them, you know, my podcast, my weight loss journey. And, you know, I was sharing all these things. And people were just so blown away by all this. Like, they didn't believe that something like this was actually, like, legitimate or whatever. And I guess I never thought of it like it was something big. I just knew that, like, it was something I had to do. Like, the workout was just something that I had to do four or five times a week. The podcast is something I have to do once a week. I love these things. But when people start to kind of catch on, it's kind of weird in a sense, like, you know, they're like blown away. And I'm just like, this is just what I do. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's strange. But I do appreciate the support. And it was nice to meet these people. I'm terrible with names. I don't remember the names. And then I don't have a record from Lyft of like what their names were. I just have a record of the ride. But it's like, as I look back through the Lyft app, I can recognize like, oh yeah, I remember this ride. I remember this ride. I remember this ride. I did have one that went not so well. 5-star Gary on Lyft is no more. I'm 4.9 now. Which really kind of blows. But basically, it was a Lyft line, which is where they pick up multiple passengers as you're going down a long route. It's to kind of keep you moving, but you get paid a little less, and it's kind of crappy. But there was a lady going somewhere. She was stop number two, and the GPS had her basically living in the middle of a park. And she's like, no, sir, I live like a mile away. And I apologized for the GPS issues. I was very apologetic, and she didn't really care. She just kind of had an attitude, and I rated her 1-star. She probably rated me the same. And that's just so, like, from the driver perspective, if you rate somebody 1-star, you don't get paired with them again. So, yeah, that lady just seemed like, she kind of had like an attitude deal, and I can be cool with anybody. Like every other trip I've ever taken has been 5-stars. Okay. And I'm always overly friendly. Like I'm almost obnoxiously friendly to people, you know, and then you get people that you can talk to and everybody's cool except for this lady, but that's all right. It's all good. I wasn't rude to her. I thanked her, you know, for the ride. I said, you know, have a great day. And that was it. And it wasn't a big deal. Take a sip of water here. Oh, it's good. So, it wasn't a bad weekend. Made a decent amount of money. I do like the Lyft. I mean, it's a lot of fun meeting new people. So, good weight number this week. Good lifting this weekend. Did get some bad news, you know, over the last week. Found out the guy from Linkin Park killed himself, which is a real bummer. Chester Bennington. You know, we always talk a little music on this podcast. Chester of Linkin Park, dead at 41. You know, good God, what is it? Okay, 2017, 2001. This is like 16 years ago when Hybrid Theory came out. And I remember the very first time I heard them, my cousin Larry, who was on episode 5, I think he had the CD, and he and Chris Barrett and I were riding around in his car. I think we were going to like Tyson's Corner Mall, and he puts on Hybrid Theory. He's like, have you guys heard this yet? You have to check this out. So he plays it, and I'm like, wow, this is interesting. Because you get the rock, you get a little bit of the hip hop, and it's just got kind of like a cool, you know, a cool vibe. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And so I start following this band, you know, the next one to come out, Meteora. Really good record. I really like that one. I think that was probably their biggest one. Hybrid Theory was my favorite, but I think Meteora commercially is the bigger one. So let's see. I'm just looking up their discography here. Let's see here. It's loading. It's always loading. Here we go. So they had discography. Oh, I'm sorry. Hybrid Theory was in 2000. Excuse me. I didn't hear it till 2001, though. Then was Meteora in 2003. Minutes to Midnight was like the last album that I heard that I paid attention to. Apparently, they released 3 more albums, A Thousand Suns, Living Things, and The Hunting Party, that I didn't know anything about any of these albums, which is kind of crazy. I don't know if that means that they're good or not. I feel like if they were good, I would have known about them. And then One More Light is the one they just released. And I don't know, it's just such a bummer. Like, my jaw dropped when I saw this news come across, because it's not something that you expect. Then you find out that, like, apparently he was close with Chris Cornell, you know, Soundgarden singer, who also killed himself the same way, hung himself. And he did it on what would have been Chris Cornell's 53rd birthday. And it's kind of, you know, this podcast is very much about my life and my experiences and things like that. And while, you know, I don't really do news, and this is kind of considered news, the suicide thing hits home close to me. And I was actually going to talk about this on a podcast a week or two ago, and I didn't get to it because I was just kind of like, I don't know if I want to share this. So I think now is as good a time of any to share it, because with this story out there, this is very relevant. It hits close to home with me. So I have decided that I'm going to share it here. And that is that I had a friend in 2003 that committed suicide. And I may have told this story on an older podcast, but there's so many new people that are listening to this, I think it's relevant to share it. And those older podcasts aren't all uploaded yet. I am in the process of doing that. On a quick sidebar, if you remember any of the older podcasts I did, I am in the process of uploading old stuff into a big archive where you can find everything in one place. The Shoot, Wrestling Informant, all these old things I used to do. I will get all these old podcasts up at some point. I'm uploading them very, very slowly. So, and actually, I did upload a couple of new ones earlier this evening that I'll get into. It's just quick. I'll just share it now. Basically, around this time in 2013, there was a couple podcasts where we were doing a co-host audition, for my old podcast, and I basically released each show featuring prospective co-hosts, and then I released the finale show where we actually picked the co-host. So all of these are uploaded, and I think you can find them at theshootonline.com. So go and check that out if you're interested. So 2003, I had a friend by the name of Mark who committed suicide. Now, Mark and I went to the same high school together, Mount Vernon High, and I want to say, he was probably 2 years behind me, I think. So if I'm a senior, he's a sophomore. Yeah, that sounds about right. Now, in high school, and I don't know how this is for a lot of other people, but for me, you know, high school, I had very few close friends. I had mostly acquaintances is basically what I had. A lot of people that, like, you knew their name. If you saw them in school, you'd say, hey, what's up? Maybe you talk to them a little bit. But beyond that, like, you didn't go to their house. You didn't hang out. You didn't do any of that stuff. So I guess acquaintance is the perfect word for it. You know their name. You talk to them once in a while. And that's that. So that's kind of where Mark goes in the grand scheme of, like, high school stuff. That's where you would put him. Okay. After I got out of high school, so this would have been 2002, somehow Mark has found me. I think it was an email that he sent me, and I don't recall right now, but I want to say he sent me an email reaching out. And as far as how he found me, I don't know, because we're talking 2002. MySpace, I don't think, was around yet. Friendster wasn't even around, I don't think, in 2002. And if it was, I wasn't on it yet. So there was some other way that he found me. Maybe he got it through my old music teacher, Mr. K, because I think Mr. K had my old email, and I was keeping in touch with him. Maybe that's how he got it. I don't know. It's irrelevant. I'm not going to spend 5 minutes trying to figure out how he got my email address. Point is, he reached out to me and said, hey, dude, you know, what have you been up to? Hope everything's been cool. You know, you want to hang out sometime? And I'm like, yeah, I guess, you know, whatever. Cool. Yeah. I'm kind of like, I'm always kind of nostalgic in the sense of, if I heard from people back in high school, you know, I would love to hear from these people. You know, again, it's cool to connect with people from something that you remember in high school. So while I didn't know Mark hardly at all, getting a message from him out of the blue 2 years out of high school, it's like, okay, yeah, let's hang. Cool, yeah. Let's do it. Whatever. It's cool. And so we started to hang out in, I want to say it's probably the fall of 2002. I only had like one picture of him, and it was at a concert that I played. And this would have been 2002. Yeah, that makes sense. I have one picture. I'm not even in the picture with him. I remember I did a coffee house acoustic show, Roast and Brew Coffee House, in the Lansdowne Shopping Center. But I took a picture of my friends that came to that show. He was there. He brought a friend with him. And God, I wish I remembered what the friend's name was, because I would look that guy up and see if he's still in the area, and try to reach out to him, because I think Mark at the time had two friends, and they were me and that guy. So I don't know. I need to find out who the hell that guy was and see if I can track him down. But so I had one picture of Mark from that show, but Mark took pictures of me at that show. He took pictures of me playing, which was really cool. He emailed them to me. He's very nice. So through the rest of 2002 and into 2003, we were just kind of hanging out, like, you know, a Saturday. Hey, what's up, man? You want to hang out? Yeah, let's hang out. We go to Old Town Alexandria. You know, we go see movies. It comes to the 4th of July weekend that week. And let me look at my calendar so I can kind of get the timeline perspective. Let me see here. 2003. Wow, we're reaching back here, folks. So the 3rd was on a Thursday. The 4th, okay. All right, here we go. So Thursday, July 3rd was when I went to, with him to the movies. We saw Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines in at the Hoffman Theater. And we had discussed what we were going to do on Friday, 4th of July. It was like, hey, man, you know, I actually had to work for a couple hours that day. And I don't remember what he was. I don't think he might have been off work that day. I think he was off work. Or he had something he was doing. Something he was doing earlier in the day, but he said he would meet up with me at night. So basically, 4th of July night comes. This is on a Friday. And I get off work and I'm calling him and I'm not able to reach him. And I thought this was weird because he would always take my call. And I'm just like, wow. And by the way, if you were my friend in 2002, I apologize now because I used to be a terrible friend. Like, if you didn't answer my call, I'd blow your phone up. Like, this is before a lot of texting was really going on. And, you know, it was just a lot of calling. And I don't even know if he had caller ID. So, you know, especially that was better because you could just call somebody over and over again and they wouldn't know who's calling you. But yeah, I was a terrible friend. I used to call and call and call. So I don't hear from him at all 4th of July. My mother's like coming downstairs like, hey, I thought you were going out tonight. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't hear from this guy. And, you know, he's not answering my call. And she's like, well, you know, it's going to get too late. And I really don't want you going out, you know, super late because, you know, we had a dog at the time. And when you'd leave late at night, he'd bark and it would wake up everybody. And you'd always have to tiptoe at night around the house. But somehow the dog always heard me. So 4th of July was pretty crappy that year. I mean, it was like kind of like a wash. Saturday comes, the 5th, and his phone's off. Now, so yeah, I guess that was a cell phone, but I don't think texting was around because I don't remember texting him. I don't know. I'm getting my timeline all off. But Saturday the 5th is just going to voicemail. And I left him maybe one or two messages saying, hey, man, never heard from you, man. What happened? What the hell? I was a little irritated. I'm not going to lie. I was a little irritated because we had made plans, and had I not made those plans, I could have made other plans and not sat at home on the 4th of July. It wasn't until Monday that all this anger turned to sadness and that there was no more anger. There was just, you know, essentially guilt for feeling so angry. So Monday the 7th, my band at the time, which was Ghost in the Gears, hi, Brian. You're probably the only person in that band that would listen to this. Hi, Brian. And Daniel, if you're listening, this is before your time, so relax. So we were playing a show at the Bush Hill Church. One of our guitar players, Jason, my ex-best friend, was on vacation with his girlfriend at the time. And so we had John Felter of Run 6 Blank fame filling in for him. And he was going to pick me up from my house. I volunteered. I said, hey, dude, you know, I'm so glad you could get us on the show. You know, if there's anything I can do to help set up, you know, if you don't, I didn't drive at the time. If you don't mind picking me up, I'd gladly come over hours ahead of time and help you guys set up, you know, the PA or the decorations or whatever. I was just happy to help. He's like, yeah, cool, whatever. So it's around 1:30 and I'm waiting for him to come get me. And my mother tells me that I have a phone call. The phone, the house phone. It came on the house phone. And it's Mark's dad. And he says, Gary, I don't know how to tell you this, but Mark is dead. He took his own life. And I didn't know how to take it. I almost dropped the phone. And all you can say in that moment is, I'm so sorry to hear that. Which I, every time I say that to somebody when they've lost somebody, it almost feels like so cheap just to say that. Like it's the easy thing to say. But honestly, like I feel like I don't always have a good thing to say, like, you know, the right thing for the right situation of what to say. So you just say, I'm sorry to hear that. But anyway, I told him that. And the next 2 minutes just ripped my heart out like none other. Because you don't know, you know, you don't really know somebody until something happens where you find out more that you weren't supposed to know about the person. And what I found out about Mark from his father just tore me apart. I remember going to his apartment a couple of times, and I noticed that there was a guitar in his apartment, an acoustic guitar. And I asked him about it. I said, hey, Mark, you got an acoustic guitar, huh? And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to start picking it up, learn how to play. Maybe you'll show me something sometime. And I said, sure. I didn't think anything of it. And his dad would tell me that Mark asked him if he would buy that guitar for him because he saw me play and wanted to learn how to play just like me. And that just, I mean, that just really cut deep. Because, you know, we have these friends, we hang out with these people, but we don't really know, like, what they're thinking, where their head's at. And to find out that he really looked up to me and really wanted to kind of emulate what I was doing and into something that he wanted to do really touched me in a lot of ways. Because I just, at that time, I was not, I mean, I'm still figuring out life. I'm 34. I'll be 35 at the end of August. And at that time, which was, what, 13, 14 years ago, I didn't know what the hell life was all about. You know, I was still screwing around and playing in bands and being stupid. Like, who the hell wants to look up to me? Like, but his father told me that he wanted to have this guitar to play just like I did. And that really just, that one hurt. It really hurt because it's like, you don't know. Like when this happens, when I find out that he's gone, naturally the thought is, well, what could I have done? Is there something I could do? The answer is likely no, because I think when someone does something like this, when they've decided to take their own life, that they've made their mind up and they're not changing their mind. Like once you get to that place, like I kind of believe that, you know, there's not a lot of turning back. There's that whole pulling them off the ledge thing is kind of like, you know, it's like stuff you see in the movies and on TV, but like, is it real? Can you really pull somebody back from the ledge? But of course I thought to myself, like, you know, was there something I could have done? Could I have said something? I didn't think so, because every time I saw Mark, he was cool. There are some people that, you know, are like crying out for help without crying out for help. Like, you've got to kind of pick up on it. I saw a YouTube video with a Chester interview from February where the way he's talking is like he's telling somebody, I need help because this is going to get worse. And watching this interview blew me away. But as I reflect on my time hanging out with Mark, I don't ever recall seeing any kind of behavior like this. So I don't know. It's hard to say. So basically what happened was, and this is just crazy, because he left a note. And what happened, it was the 4th of July, he got a speeding ticket, and he felt that his parents were going to take away his Jaguar. And he loved this Jaguar. And when I tell you he loved this Jaguar, I'm not kidding. He idolized this Jaguar. He loved it. He pampered it. He bragged about it. He loved this car. And he felt that his parents were going to take this car away because of the speeding ticket. So he overdosed on pills. So this is just going to be the obligatory. You need to look at people in your life and make sure everybody's good. Make sure you're telling your loved ones that you love them, you know. Reach out to these people and make sure they're good. Because I sure wish that I could go back in time if I could try to pick up the signs of something going on, but younger me, he just doesn't. He doesn't know any better. But I wish I could go back and tell Mark more how much I appreciated our time hanging out, because maybe if he knew I was really into it, you know, he would have stuck around a little longer. Or maybe his mind was just so far made up that nothing I could say or do was going to change his mind in that time if I was able to get a hold of him. I don't know. But they found him Saturday morning, the 5th. And I felt like an asshole because I didn't go to the funeral. I was so torn up. And by the time I decided that I wanted to go, I didn't have a ride. And I felt really guilty because I should have been there. You know, somebody that looked up to me like that, I should have been at his funeral. And I wasn't. And I feel really guilty about that. But yeah, I just, you know, the Chester thing happened and this all just came rushing back to my head. Every year around 4th of July is rough for me. Even though he was gone on the 5th, it's not until the 7th that I really start feeling it, because that's when I found out about it. So the moral of this story is, you know, like I said, just reach out to your loved ones, let them know you love them. And if you see anybody that has any kind of sign that things aren't going in the right way, you better say something, you know. You know, just let them know how much you love them and tell them that they're worth something. Everybody's worth something. That's really all I have to say. I mean, it just got really dark. I'm sorry, guys. But I just felt that I needed to share that and get it off my chest. I'll try to bring back a lighthearted podcast next week. I'll do my best. But just reach out to your loved ones, your friends, and make sure that you know that they're there, that you are there for them. Make sure they know that. hug them, love them, tell them. That's what it's all about. Thank you guys for listening to my podcast this week. Again, if you're looking for Amazon, Lyft, Uber, we got links on the website, garyspodcast.com. Make sure you're checking out the links when you have something of interest coming up, and we'll take care of it for you. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll be back next week with an all-new podcast, hopefully on a much lighter-hearted topic. But thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you next week.